Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wild Horse and Burro Radio, an educational outreach program of Wild Horse Freedom Federation. You're welcome to call in with any questions you may have for our guests during the second half hour of the show. Our guests tonight are Dr. Ann Marini and John Holland, president of Equine Welfare Alliance, who will be joining in on the discussion. Dr. Marini earned her PhD from the Department of Biochemistry and her medical degree from Georgetown School of Medicine. She was a senior staff fellow at National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, National Institute of Mental Health. Dr. Marini's group published a peer-reviewed article, Association of Phenylbutazone Usage with Horses Bought for Slaughter, a Public Health Risk. This was authored by Dr. Marini, Nicholas Dodman, and Nicholas Blondow. This manuscript was published in the peer-reviewed journal Food and Chemical Toxicology in 2010. To give our listeners a brief introduction to the topic of tonight's show, one of the public food safety issues facing the United States is the contamination of meat with residual veterinary drugs, pesticides, and heavy metals. These residues enter our food supply when the animals enter slaughter plants with these residual contaminants in their system. After the animals are slaughtered, traces of these drugs or pesticides contained in the animal's meat is shipped to meat processors and then to grocery stores where the meat is purchased by consumers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS, administers the National Residue Program, but there are many major deficiencies in their oversight. Welcome to the show, Ann and John.
Thank you, Debbie.
I'm glad we're on. I guess to kick this off with, Ann, what are some of the drugs that are banned in animals that could end up being consumed by humans?
So, according to the Food and Drug Administration, horses are in the United States are considered companion animals. They are not food-producing animals. So I just like to go back a little bit and just characterize talk about some of the differences between, horses and food-producing animals that are slaughtered in the United States. So cows and sheep and goats that are slaughtered for their meat all require health certificates, and only veterinarians can actually write into the books of these health certificates for these animals the list of drugs or the drugs that are administered to the animals. And this protects consumers against an animal that's given a banned substance that potentially could go to slaughter. So, and any animal, food-producing animal, that is given a banned substance is automatically ineligible for slaughter, and it's documented in the health certificate, and the animal is removed. This is not the case for American horses, because American horses are not raised as food-producing animals, and substances that are banned by the Food and Drug Administration can and are given to American horses, and there's over 100 substances that can and are given to horses that are on the banned list So drugs such as promazine, you know, all of the antibiotics, and such as Exceed and all of them, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents, drugs like phenylbutazone, acetazolamide, and others, and also vaccines, are not allowed to be given to horses, to any animal that's destined for the for the food chain.
Well, can you tell some of our listeners about what is phenylbutazone, the butte?
Sure. So phenylbutazone is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug that is considered the horse aspirin for horse owners because it's highly effective. It's administered to horses that develop musculoskeletal injuries, and these are very common injuries in horses because of the, you know, the nature of their construction and of the animal itself. And so they're very prone to musculoskeletal injury. And phenylbutazone is highly effective for these types of injuries. And it's very, you know, inexpensive. And in addition to being able to, you know, for the vet to distribute it, horse owners can also buy the compounded butte, you know, over the internet. And it's a major drug that is on the banned list for the Food and Drug Administration.
So do the vets keep records on the horses that are administered these banned drugs?
No, again, because, you know, horses are not food-producing animals, the vets don't necessarily keep records, and there's no documentation of if and when a horse receives phenylbutazone or other drugs that are on the banned list, because it's not required.
What would happen to a person if they ingested meat with butte in it? Like residues of butte, what could happen? What are some risks?
Well, back in 1949, phenylbutazone was so effective that it was approved for human use, and it was on the market for human use. And after about 6 years of using the drug, some very serious adverse effects. Adverse effects were observed in some of the people that consumed the drug. So one of the more serious side effects is bone marrow depression. So the bone marrow is responsible for making all of the cellular elements, your red cells, your white cells, and your platelets. And what this drug would do is that it would prevent the bone marrow from making those cell types, and most people, you know, died. Now, one of the criticisms, you know, of talking about this is that, you know, the critics will say, well, you have to consume 2 to 8 grams of phenylbutazone before you come down with this. Well, for the population that currently exists, but there were a lot of people that took the drug that were not added to the registry, who may have come down with this side effect. So the actual dose that's required to inflict this, you know, for people to develop the side effect is really not known. In addition, children are extremely sensitive to bone marrow depression from phenylbutazone. And as the Irish Veterinarian Journal reported, even the minutest amount of phenylbutazone can cause bone marrow depression in kids.
Wow. Yeah. And then there's the whole, you know, since it isn't really a tract, you don't know how much you're getting over even a certain period of time, you know, if it's accumulative or whatever. That seems to be an issue. You know, people don't know. It doesn't say on the meat package, oh, this has some butte in it. So then the next week when they buy meat somewhere, oh, this has some more butte in it. And then they get their salami, oh, there's a little more butte in this.
Yeah, one of the major problems of in oversight of horses that are slaughtered for human consumption is that the number of carcasses that are actually tested is very low. We calculated in the past at about only 1 to maybe 5% of the carcasses are actually tested for drug residue. And, you know, back in 2012, I don't know if most people remember this, but the Canadian border closed to the exportation of American horses across the border. And there wasn't a lot of information that came out of that, but my sources tell me that the reason was is because the EU actually found phenylbutazone in the meat that was tested that came from Canada, and that's why the border got shut down.
I am going to bring up more drugs that are given to wild horses later, but I did receive confirmation that bute has been given to wild horses. So I wanted to throw that into the conversation. Does eligibility for slaughter include undetectable drug residue levels in horses? In other words, is the level of drug residues that determine if a horse is eligible for slaughter, or is it the administration of the drug?
No, it's the actual administration of the drug. And the reason for that is that over time, the equipment that actually tests for the amount of residue in the carcass has its limitations. And after once you get to a certain level, it can no longer detect the phenylbutazone. But that doesn't mean that it's not there, and it doesn't mean that it can't cause eventual harm.
When testing for bute, was the USDA only looking at fat samples?
Yeah, so when the slaughter plants were running here in the United States, because the horse meat was not consumed by Americans, the FSIS decided to test fat samples for the presence of phenylbutazone. The thing is that phenylbutazone is the type of drug that actually does not get into fat. So they they push the system to get a negative result.
They push the system. Yeah. Well, so in the past, when bute was given to humans, can you give us any other examples of what happened?
Yeah,
are there any other health issues?
Yeah, there are other health issues, and this is where actually the drug residue is really important, because there are some people that can develop hypersensitivity disorders from very low levels of bute, and those are the levels that you're talking about that occur as residue in the meat that can cause a liver hypersensitivity. 95% of those people actually die, as well as kind of a overactivation of the immune system as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
Mm-hmm.
So even residue levels of bute can cause significant disease in people.
Mm-hmm.
But because the doctors, don't know that that the horse meat is contaminated with phenylbutazone and probably a whole slew of other drugs at residue levels, they don't even ask. They wouldn't know to ask.
Yeah. Well, when you sent me the list of banned drugs for animals that will be used for human consumption for food for people, I sent you a list of drugs that the BLM has used on wild horses and burros. And I'm going to quickly just read to part of this list, because some of the vaccinations that include vaccinations for strep and strangles, the flu, rhino, West Nile virus, rabies vaccinations, those were all on the banned drugs banned for food routinely given during the processing of wild horses and burros when they're after they're captured, you know. And I think, Ann, there's a lot of other drugs, but I kind of want to focus right now on the dewormer, ivermectin, which I noticed was on the ban list, and they're routinely given to wild horses and burros in holding facilities. Can you tell us a little about ivermectin?
Yeah, ivermectin is a dewormer. It actually works in the gut to release the worms from the lining of the gut, so they come out in the poop. And yes, ivermectin is banned by the FDA for food producing animals in the United States, but in Canada, for example. Ivermectin has a withdrawal time of 6 months. So if an animal was given ivermectin, you know, today, you know, in February, then in August they could be slaughtered for food. But they would have to have a six-month waiting time.
Do you think it's possible that there isn't always adherence to the six-month waiting period?
I think that I don't know, you know, specifically don't know the answer to that question, but there's, you know, along with John and his group and Animal Angels, there was a distinct effort to educate the EU about American horses being slaughtered for human consumption, and that together with the fact that kill buyers routinely lie on the equine information document that's required by Canada for any horse that gets slaughtered for food. The EU instituted new regulations requiring that the horse slaughter plants keep the horses for 6 months before they slaughter them. And so that went into effect several months ago.
What are some of the issues with animal models in testing?
Yeah, so when the drug company was testing phenylbutazone for side effects, the smaller animals never developed bone marrow depression. Now, we don't know exactly why that is. You know, it's possible that it's a species difference, or the other possibility is that, you know, many of the animals that are used for these purposes, you know, don't live that long. So rats, for example, live only 2 years, whereas humans live much longer. So so we don't know exactly why, but when phenylbutazone was tested in these animals, none of them ever developed bone marrow depression. It was only found in humans when it got on the market for human use. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, it's now off the market for human use.
You know, and just to make people aware, in 2010, the USDA Office of the Inspector General report, they stated there was a national residue program was not accomplishing its mission of monitoring the food supply for harmful residues, and said together FSIS, the FDA, and EPA had not established thresholds for many dangerous substances, including copper or dioxin, which resulted in meat with these substances being distributed to the public. And also, FSIS doesn't recall meat even when its tests have confirmed the excessive presence of veterinary drugs. So that's kind of a scary thought right there.
Yeah, that is pretty scary.
Yeah, I should mention something about ivermectin, too, if I can.
Oh, go right ahead.
Back in the 80s, you started to see horse meat disappear as a pet food. Up to then, you saw it in a lot of the popular canned meats. Now it's only in a very few specialty brands like some sport dog meats. But it turned out one of the main reasons was that ivermectin had a terrible effect on certain collie breeds. There's a difference in their blood-brain barrier, and the ivermectin would permeate permeate through the blood-brain barrier, but couldn't go back out. It would only go one way. And so if you fed a dog a diet of even the tiniest amount of it for a long period of time, it would eventually, you know, develop brain issues, encephalitis sort of things, and basically die. So that's just another example of how dangerous some of these drugs can be.
Well, and, you know, I've heard a lot of people that are pushing for horse slaughter plants to be reopened in the United States. They're talking about even food for zoo animals. Well, it makes sense if this ivermectin affected, you know, collies, it could possibly affect zoo animals.
Yeah, they don't know. There's so little data on all the different species they have in a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just so our audience knows, wild horses and burros do get the dewormer ivermectin, and then they get a yearly booster. They're in at least the short-term holding facilities.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting that that you know, we import, like, I think the last I looked at the Red Book, which was years ago, like 2 million tons of horse meat, and I guess that must go to the zoos.
It's very strange, you know. We've never known exactly where it was going. There's no good trail for it after it comes across the border. But we assume the zoos. I don't know. The whole meat industry is so much under suspicion anymore. I mean, what broke all this loose was the scandal in Europe, where they started finding horse meat in their fast food, in the hamburgers, in children's lunches. I don't know if you all remember that. I think it was back around 2013. Anyhow, the more they looked, the more they found. They even found it at what's that furniture company that has food service in the stores?
IKEA.
Yeah, IKEA. IKEA even found it. Badly. And anyhow, so that then got people to looking for, well, what's wrong with horse meat? And I think our timing was perfect there because Ann's paper, popped right up on everybody's radar screen. They began to realize that this was all connected and that this industry is so dishonest that you really can't give it an inch, because the first thing they did was try to crack down with the IEDs, not improvised explosive devices, but the equine EIDs, equine identification documents. You know, to try to get some control. And they were, from day one, a complete joke. I mean, the kill buyers laughed at them. I actually got photocopies of a whole bunch of them at a slaughter auction, laying on the desk. And all that had been filled out was they'd all been signed by the owners. And they were just going to let the kill buyers fill in the drug history on their way to the plant.
Wow.
So once they realized that they couldn't trust these people, and, I mean, it's an industry, it's a lawless industry. They laugh at you if you try to talk about any kind of regulation. And once they realized they couldn't trust them, you know, the EU put a ban on horse meat from Mexico. And then most recently they put a quarantine requirement on horse meat coming through Canada. So the horses would have to be kept in quarantine for 6 months. Interestingly, our numbers, I have some encouraging news here, because there's not much encouraging coming out of Washington these days. But the encouraging thing is our total for last year in slaughter was 88,277. That's a overall reduction of 23%. And it was a bigger reduction. The Canadian numbers went down 41%, and the Mexican numbers went down 14%, and largely due to this EU market going away. So that 88,000 is the lowest number I've ever seen for a year, except 2003, and it was 85,000 in 2003. Other than that, it's the second lowest number since 1989. So there's a little good news for you.
Yeah. Well, I was a little concerned about this recent trade agreement with China. I haven't actually read the text of it yet. to see if, you know, they were opening any markets, you know, there.
You can always know that the people are going to be trying to come in under those things. Whether or not they do, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think China's getting a little more sophisticated than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and from what I understand about the new regulations from the EU, that none of the slaughter plants up in Canada have, you know, any property to keep these horses for 6 months. So what they've done is they've found markets outside of the EU that they sell the meat, the horse meat to. Like they sell it to Russia or China.
Right. Russia and Vietnam are two big ones. But even so, you know, our exports to them have gone down 41%. That's a bad year in anybody's book for if you're selling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost stranger that Mexico didn't go down more. We can't figure out where the Mexican meat is going. It's just disappearing. If you look at their imports of horses, they don't match with their exports of meat. So I think it's being magically transformed. You know, remember alchemists that used to turn lead into gold? They've got alchemists that turn horse into steak.
Well, it's kind of worrisome because While the U.S. exports most of its beef, we import beef from Mexico. So, you know, maybe it's ended up coming back here. But he's
well, it's already been found in meat coming in. You know, there was a small study. Help me out here, Ann. But university study of meat bought online, a hamburger.
Yeah, that's right. It's an exotic meat as well. I mean,
yeah.
Almost none
of them genetically were what they were supposed to be.
Right. Hmm. They found the DNA from horse in several of the meats that you buy online that you know from that are exotic from exotic animals.
Wow. What happened with Backstreet Bully? And can you tell us about the kill buyer that lied when he was filling out the paper?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is kind of a perfect example of what Don was just talking about, that, you know, he lied on the equine information document that the horse had not received. Backstreet Bully was actually a beautiful chestnut thoroughbred racehorse that was owned by Frank Stronach in Canada. And he unfortunately found his way to a kill buyer who sold him to the slaughter plant, and the kill buyer put on the, you know, checked off the box that he had received no drugs, and so Stronach's family found out about this, and they really tried hard, you know, to get this horse out of the slaughter plant. And unfortunately, they didn't succeed. But the reason they wanted him out of the slaughter plant is because this horse had received multiple doses of phenylbutazone in the recent past, and also nitrofurazone, which is a known carcinogen. You know, it's known to cause cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want to let people know it's halfway through the show, so if you'd like to call in with any questions for our guest, just call area code 917-388-4520, then press 1. Again, 917-388-4520, and press 1. It seems like we had a little trouble with our producer a while ago, so I hope she's able to get the calls towards us.
I'm here. I'm good.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Let us know if we'll get any calls with questions, Marty. Thanks. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up was that when testing for various types of drug residues that the agencies have determined to even be high risk, the FSIS relies on the FDA to approve the testing methods it uses. However, the approved methods are often antiquated and ineffective because they were approved when the FDA first approved the drug. And And the FSIS also confirms the presence of residue in a sample of meat. It needs a tolerance, and that's a threshold for determining if the concentration of that residue is dangerous for human consumption. But tolerances have not been set for many substances. In 2018, Mexican authorities rejected a shipment of beef because it contained copper that was in excess of Mexico's tolerances. Well, FSIS had no basis to stop the distribution of this meat in the U.S. because the FDA had set no tolerance for copper. And I think we have a caller, Marty.
Yes, you do. Area code 775, you're live and on the air.
Hi.
Hello, this is Craig Downer. I am in Nevada.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig. Hi there. Yeah, I wanted to, I don't know if you want to address the subject of the porcine.
Hold on a second, Craig. We're getting some background noise from you. Do you have your computer
on? Yeah, that's because
on?
The thing is playing on my computer, so I'll just walk
away.
Yeah,
could you turn that down? Yeah, okay. Great, because we're getting background noise. Okay, go ahead, Craig.
So my question is, I don't know whether this program wanted to address the effects of the porcine zona pellucida on the horses that are darted, you know, out in the or anywhere on animals in general. And
yes, the fertility control drug PZP.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So that was my question: is whether they saw some. I know I've read a lot of studies that call into question their effects, both short and long term, on the horses, and it's causing a lot of stress and even death among the horses, and also resulting in weakened immune systems in future generations of the horses, which kind of sets them up for decline. No.
Well, also, maybe just even a more general question for Ann and John, you know, hormones, the EU wants nothing to do with U.S. beef that's been produced with so many hormones, and they're talking about beef cattle. So what about wild horses that have been given this fertility drug, PZP, or, say, even gonicon, other fertility drugs?
Yeah, I mean, they don't come and speak to us in English and give us reports or and we just have to
there's probably
kind of
been no studies done. My guess would be they haven't even done any studies on it. What do you guys think, Anna?
Well, there have been studies that I've read, and you know, they're technical studies, so the average layman probably doesn't like to read them. But since I'm a biologist, I can read them. And they do call it, you know, they're not just, oh, yeah, let's all jump on PZP bandwagon, you know. They're calling in. They're pointing out that there are detrimental effects to the piece upon both the individuals, particularly the mares, and also on the social units, because causing a lot of frustration. And then the other thing is on the immune systems, you know, of the horses that go on to procreate into the future, then are tending to have weaker and weaker immune system. And you know, so those are three things that are occurring.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, Craig. I know about those issues. One thing, though, I guess, John or Ann, have you heard of any studies that have been involved food safety issues with these fertility control drugs that are being given to wild horses or any horses, and the effects with food safety if they were to be consumed by humans?
I think what I understand is that PCP is not yet approved by the FDA. So until, you know, the sponsor, you know, goes through the rigorous requirements for the FDA, you know, we're not going to really get a determination on that.
Yeah,
right.
Marty, we're getting a lot of background noise whenever people are calling in.
If people that are
please turn down
the background noise, turn off anything you've got running, because we do pick it up on air.
There's nothing and here at my house. I'm here by myself.
Okay,
so.
But we do have a caller waiting.
I think some
online.
Other people are coming in. Okay, let me kind of wrap this up with Craig.
And bring that up. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, Craig, because, you know, they're using PZP. It's an experimental drug, so they don't even know all the effects. So, you know, they're giving that to so many wild horse mares, and even this Gonicon, they don't know all the effects, and yet they're willing to sell off our wild horses to slaughter to be used
and they're like
to be
they're being
eaten by
used
people.
Pigs, you know, and to me,
yeah.
It goes against the basic intent of the Wild Free Roaming Horse and Burros Act that they were to be not made into domesticated animals. They were to be wild free roaming animals, natural animals, part of the natural balance of our public lands.
Yeah, I agree with that, Craig, and, you know, I'm glad you brought up the points.
Sure.
Yeah, and now there's just that extra one. Not only is it bad for the wild horses and burros themselves, it's bad for, you know, if they are planning to slaughter these horses, they don't even know what the effects will be on human beings. So that's another point, you know, about the fertility control. Marty, thanks for calling, Craig. Appreciate
sure,
it.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking the question. Take care. Good program.
Okay.
Learn.
Right. Okay, great. Marty, do we have another caller?
Yes, area code 303. You're live and on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi, this is Charlotte Rowe from Berthoud, Colorado. Thanks, Anna, and thanks, John, for this informative talk. And I just wanted to respond to the I'll have to read your article, Anna, to find out more about one of those drugs that you mentioned that's a carcinogen, the nitrocurzone.
Nitrocurzone, yeah.
But yeah. Responding to what Craig brought up, the fact that PCP is not approved by the FDA, that can be kind of a last resort, perhaps, argument against exporting horses, wild or domestic, to slaughter. I just have to totally disagree with what he said, and I really don't think it has a place in this discussion. PCP is not experimental.
Yeah,
it's been tried. It's been tried for 20 years, and I'm sorry,
Charlotte,
but the mayors that get PCP have a longer life.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. This isn't a PCP debate show, and I
agree.
But you
did agree with a lot of what Craig said, and it really wasn't germane. I'd like to hear what John Holland says about this, and I think he was asking about the effects that it could have on horse meat. So let's redirect it back to there, and get real.
Well, this is out of my expertise. I'd love to tell you more. I've listened to several lectures on how it works, and the line of the people who promote it, and it may be totally true, is that it works only on the outer surface of the egg, and it causes it to be impermeable to spermatozoa. I that was my understanding. Now, it's been a while since I attended these lectures, but you know, that doesn't. I don't know that tells you for sure it doesn't have other reactions within the body. I mean, you were looking at the egg, and that's what you're going to see. But does it have any other reaction? I don't know that. I haven't read anything about its dangers in meat production. But, you know, it's really a fairly small issue right now because, to me personally, because the whole issue of gathering Mustangs and sending them to slaughter is a fabricated issue. In about 07 or 08, they got a bunch of money given to the BLM as part of the stimulus program. And it was supposed to be used on projects to stimulate local economies. Instead, they used it to buy helicopter time to round up as many horses as they could. And the idea all along, from the very beginning, we all know, was to put them in long-term holding at whatever price and then show how expensive it is to keep them there. And obviously you wouldn't have gathered them if they could still be on the range, which of course isn't true. but, you know, so the only answer is to dispose of them. And, you know, let's just send them to slaughter or let's euthanize them. That was the plan from day one. And the enemies of the horses are people who want the natural resources for other things, and also, I think, who don't like the fact that these wild horses tend to be a canary in the coal mine. So if you've got, you know, problem from a mining operation or something else out there that's poisoning the land, you'll see it in the wild horses. And I don't think they want that.
We were talking about that before the show, that this has been going on, you know, since, you know, before the act. They've been trying to get rid of the horses.
Yes, and there's all sorts of different interests, you know, all sorts of different people, but they all have money at their heart, not the, you know, preservation of our resources. But these days, politicians, I mean, if you ever needed to watch the magic of politicians, watch these guys who just took $3 or $4 million from the NRA, give their unique position on the shooting down in Florida.
mm-hmm.
You know, what do they do? Do they start off by saying, well, you know, we can't ban them because of some rational reason? No, they start off right away, you know, shifting the subject over to something else. What we really need to discuss is mental health, and this is not the time to be political, and this is not the, you know. So when you're up against people that have mastered this bullshit, if you'll excuse my, I don't know if that's. But they've mastered it. They are, you cannot nail these people down. It's like nailing jello to a tree. You know, they will just slime their way out of it. There isn't really a way to have an honest discussion of the subject anymore, not within the confines of the Congress we have now. That's just my opinion.
And my only point about mentioning the FDA is that, you know, when you submit a drug for FDA approval, I mean, it's a very rigorous process, and it includes a great deal of safety studies as well, and that's where the side effects from, you know, the drug, where they look at all of the organs and all of the different tissues to determine what effect that drug has on other areas besides the target tissue.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, Charlotte, and I didn't want to derail this show because we're sticking on the topic of drugs that are given to horses. And, you know, since going to con, TZP, are drugs that are being given to horses, that came on, you know, on this topic. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up, possibly a little bit off the topic, too, but in 2011, veterinarian Julie Weichel, who's now on the BLM's National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board, was observing castrations being done on the range in the Sheldon National Wildlife Refuge. And in a report, she noted that after surgically castrating a stud, he was given a tetanus toxoid injection, and then he died from anaphylaxis. And then in her report, Weichel noted, in the future, epinephrine should routinely be kept available whenever biologicals are administered, such as tetanus toxoid, and administered promptly upon presentation of signs of anaphylaxis. So this makes me think they didn't have any epinephrine on hand to give to that horse. So, you know,
I just can't imagine. Yeah. My impression is that, you know, at one point they were talking about using the colposcope to, you know, to remove ovaries of the mares, you know, to castrate the mares, and out there in the field. And this is just, you know, beyond the sublime to the ridiculous. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should not be doing this kind of stuff out there, you know, in the field, you know, without, you know, having all of the essentially the necessary drugs that are on a crash cart, you know, out there, you know, just in case something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they even wanted to spay, you know, I'm not sure if you knew, Ann, but the Bureau of Land Management, they even wanted to spay, and probably still do, wild mares doing those colopotomies out in the field.
I looked that procedure up because I'm not a vet, obviously, and you know, it's only to be done, you know, under very strict circumstances and in a hospital setting.
I'm going to read some of the again. I've already told people the vaccinations that the BLM uses on you know, some of them that I found were used, and the dewormers, ivermectin, Zimectorin, equine, but ivermectin was on the ban list. And when castrating stallions, the drugs Sucostrin and Rompun, they're on the ban list. When spaying wild mares, doing the colpotomies, butyrophenol, xylazine, flunixin. And then when they were inserting the IUDs in the wild mares, again, butyrophenol and xylazine. I'll probably end up doing an article because it's hard for everybody to, so they can see what they are and then why, what the reason they were banned. Put all that together for people. Is there another caller, Marty?
Yes, there is. Area code 530. You're live and on the air.
Hello.
Okay, I'm on the air.
Yes,
hi.
You are.
Okay. Hello. Oh, thank you for this show. I just wanted to add one more thing into the mix. When John was mentioning that the horses that are shipped over the border to Mexico, there seem to be disappearing on the slaughter. The numbers don't match up. Well, something I happened to notice a while back, there was a something called the country of origin label that used to have to be on the meats. We had to know, anybody buying meat had to know what country it was produced in. They, in 2016, they changed that law, I think the USDA, and they were getting complaints from the World Trade Organization and Mexico because they said it was the neighbors to the north, Canada and Mexico, and the neighbors to the north and south say COOL, which was the name of the abbreviation for the label of origin, has caused them more than $3 billion in damages. WTO, World Trade Organization, estimated it was about a third of that. COOL could have brought heavy penalties. The World Trade Organization has ruled multiple times against COOL as written. At any rate,
what,
I think
yeah.
That
what
could
do you
mean
think of that, John?
The whole issue of country of origin labeling is extremely important to, you know, people becoming informed. And of course, the last thing in the world these folks want is for you to know what you're eating.
Well, I'm thinking that could be the horse meat coming back in, as you were kind of, was that kind of what you were thinking?
Yes, absolutely.
We're getting it right back to.
They have a magic factory down there that takes horses in one end and puts out a hamburger. Beef hamburger on the other end. It's really quite amazing technology.
Precisely. Yes. Okay. And
it's the same idea used frequently in our Congress.
Yeah, you have to laugh or else, huh?
Yeah, you go crazy. By the way, there's a class. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to thank Sherry for calling in. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the show.
Yeah, there's
okay,
a class
ahead,
of drugs I wanted to mention also. Horse breeders have a number of drugs that they can give a mare to control her cycle so that if they send her to a stud, they'll know she's going to come in heat, you know, at that time. And what they do is they actually cause her to eject her present egg. And then 3 days later, she will, you know, basically ovulate again. There's different brand names for them. I'm trying to remember some of them now. But those drugs are so dangerous, especially to pregnant women, that female veterinarians are urged not to use the drugs, even with rubber gloves, if they're pregnant. So that's another thing you could really enjoy for lunch. go out and celebrate a nice horse meat lunch with your fiance or your wife or whatever, and, you know, celebrate the upcoming birth, and guess what? You don't have one anymore. I don't mean to be flippant, but, you know, it's yet another one of the things that they don't tell you about.
Regimate.
Yes, regimate. Thank you very much, Ann. I've got all-something disease. The doctor told me what it was, but I can't remember now.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's right.
Alzheimer's, yeah. Just a few points I wanted to make so people know that no amount of cooking will destroy these residues, and in some cases heat may actually break residues down into components that are more harmful to consumers. And of 23 pesticides known to be high risk, the FSIS only tests for one. Pesticides like dioxin, lindane, fire retardants called PBDEs, they have no established action levels, so the FSIS doesn't even test for any of these. And also, the National Resources Defense Council revealed in a report that 26 out of 30 antibiotics approved for use in livestock feed failed the FDA's own safety test, yet they're still in use. So, while it's not exactly, you know, germane to wild horses and burros and the drugs being given to them, it's just something to bear in mind about what's happening with the food or food safety. Well, John and Ann, anything we haven't covered yet that you wanted to bring up, or we still have about 9 minutes to go in the show?
No, I think for for people out there who want to slaughter this can really only be done at the federal level, to stop the exportation of our horses going across both borders, the north and the southern border. And I think the top priority for educating legislative aides about horse slaughter is to really talk about the food safety issue. And there's a lot of other really good information, you know, to educate yourself on the topic at the Equine Welfare Alliance website that John has and maintains. There's a lot of really excellent educational material there, and also on the Mary Nash website, kaufmanzoning.net.
That's a mother load of information at Kaufman Zoning. You can disappear into that place for weeks.
Yeah, and for our newer listeners, it's spelled K-A-U-F-M-A-N, and then the word zoning, Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, zoning. And I also wanted to mention that Equine Advocates have one of Anne Marini was a speaker at their summit, and so that speech, which also has more details, is you can go to Equine Advocates and see the video of Ann speaking at the summit there. John, anything you want to add?
No, not much. I mean, if you're really going to go into all the threats and all the problems, you know, you need a lot longer program.
Yeah, we'd be on all the time, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, this industry is absolutely horrific. As soon as Ann's paper came out, they tried to cover for it, and they had a bunch of people who weren't even MDs. They were. I think it was an equine PhD or something, and they came out with a really poor paper trying to discredit her. But that that paper has become a very strong hallmark paper in the subject, and I think everybody in food safety around the horse issue knows of that paper and looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was overwhelming what she found. You know, it just didn't take any time at all. You just pull the cover off and look, and and it's a horrible thing. But, you know, that's true of the whole horse slaughter industry. You know, and I mean, every level of the industry, the plants, they want to bring back these plants. There were horrible places, not just for the horses, but they polluted their neighborhoods. They caused almost, you know, horror movie level things, like down in Kaufman, they actually plugged up the sewer lines with the waste from the plant. And so some genius in that plant said, well, we need a pump to force it down the sewer line. Well, the plug went, you know, as soon as they put the pump on it, the plug went down the line until it hit the next cross line. And, of course, it plugged one side and put pressure on the other side, and up came blood into everybody's bathtubs and toilets. So, you know, I mean, that's horror movie stuff. And yet they get away with it over and over and over. They were trying to shut them down constantly. And the plant just laughed off. They never paid their fines. You know, it's just an industry you've got to get rid of. It's just got to go. Mm-hmm. There's no reforming it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think especially, you know, we've talked about the drugs that are given to wild horses and burros. They're given to domestic horses. You know, we didn't even really touch on hormones and antibiotics very much specifically. But anything horses are given, you need to wonder how that could possibly down the line affect, you know, if horses were slaughtered and sold for meat, how it could affect human health. And just knowing they aren't doing the FSIS and USDA, they don't do studies on, you know, most pesticides or antibiotics that are given to cattle, you know, why would we think they're going to really look into these things, because they're not?
Well, yes, and I mean, Europe won't take your cattle. You ought to ask why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they won't take our cattle, and there's a good reason. We just can't get away from trying to shortcut things by using antibiotics or steroids or whatever. And and the horse meat people have all the bad habits of the beef industry on steroids. Literally.
Well, you know, and in the racing industry, you not only deal with the legal drugs that are banned in food producing animals, but then you also have the illegal drugs, you know, as well. And who knows what other kinds of compounds or frog juice or whatever that's injected into racehorses to keep them going.
Well, we've got just a couple of minutes, and I wanted to thank you, Dr. Marini, for taking the time to be on our show tonight, and also want to thank John Holland, Equine Welfare Alliance, for calling in and joining us on the discussion. I appreciate both of you taking the time to do this. And I know everyone loves hearing from you, so it's been a really interesting show. I'd like to thank Marty Oakley for producing our show tonight and let you all know that there are other shows on her TS Radio banner, including Whistleblowers on Thursday nights, hosted by Marty Oakley. Wanted to thank everybody that called in with questions, and thank all of you for joining tonight and listening. And just a reminder, please be sure to call your representatives, both House and Senators, and ask them not to euthanize, which is another word for kill, but euthanize, kill, or sterilize our wild horses and burros, and tell them you oppose horse slaughter in the U.S. If we don't make these calls, you know, not only will our wild horses and burros be killed, but by the tens of thousands, but also you know, domestic horses could be headed back to slaughter plants in the U.S. We don't want that. So thanks to everybody. And thanks, John and Ann.
Oh, thanks for having
us. Thank you, Debbie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, everybody. Good night.